Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Have you ever asked, what am I worth to the church? Now, there are many passages of Scripture that discuss the quality of character that is supposed to be possessed by those who follow Christ. Most of the epistles of the New Testament are directed to that end. And while there is a desire among brethren to enlarge the numbers of people who profess to be members of the church, and this is proper because each member, that represents a soul, has there been sufficient emphasis on the quality of character the Lord expects of the church member? Quantity without quality, friend, avails nothing. And it's easier to measure quantity than quality. But much of the Scripture is devoted to quality. Now, there are serious considerations each Christian must ponder as he lives his life before God and man while professing to be the Lord's disciple. Being a name on a church roll does not necessarily mean that one has his name written in the Book of Life of which Revelation 20:15 speaks. Now, our lesson does not center on the value to be a member of the church, but on what worth the member is to the rest of the church. It should not have to be argued that each member has a duty to every other member. Nor should it be argued the possibility that many church members are deceiving themselves into thinking all is well with their souls when it is not. The churches of the New Testament record how that people who thought they were spiritually alive were actually spiritually dead, Revelation 3 and verse 1. Every congregation likely has what might be called a dead weight of inactive members who evidently think they shall ride into heaven on the good lives of other members, but they're really worth very little to the church. Some have obviously not put away the old man with his sinning ways, but continue in sin even though they have become members of the church. They want to take the blessings that are offered, but are unwilling to give the life that is required of them. Will you ask yourself, what am I worth to the church? It could be a spiritual eye-opener, friend, to seriously investigate and self-examine. You know, Paul urged in 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 28, but let a man examine himself. Again, in 2 Corinthians 13:5, he said, prove your own selves, whether you be in the faith. In Galatians chapter 6, for if a man thinketh himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. My listening friend, are you an asset, or are you a liability to the church? Are your brethren sometimes ashamed of you, and for good reason, due to your conduct, your attitude, your manner of speech, the things in which you get involved, your habits? Do others have to constantly struggle to explain you because they're ashamed of your actions? Can they be at ease in your company, not fearing that you will burst forth with something profane or vulgar or uncouth or degrading? There are people who evidently have more fear of a preacher than they do of God, because they will be on guard about their conduct in the preacher's presence, but fail to realize how God is aware of them all the time. Evil conduct by a church member gives a black eye to the church, and it hurts every member. God's people are like an epistle being read by other people, 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 2. And what do they read about the church of Christ as they read you? We have heard people comment regarding some brother that if every member was like him, the church would be a wonderful church. But we have also heard some people say regarding some who are members that if those members represent the kind of church we are, they would never want to be a member of it. Are you a help or are you a hindrance to the work the church undertakes? Some are always ready to do whatever they can do to assist. They are loyal, they are faithful to their duties. Others, who may be personally prevented from doing something, are strong moral supporters and encouragers in the work. But unfortunately, some drag their feet. They do not help. They will not help. They can't be counted on. And they are often criticizing those who are busy. Which are you? Do you help or do you hinder? There are both kinds in yesteryear, as the Bible reveals. Why should we think that both kinds do not exist today? One of the most revealing commentaries about a congregation is how the membership supports the Bible study periods or gospel meetings. It shows their attitude toward the truth, their interest in souls, their willingness to cooperate, and whether they will help or whether they will hinder the work. Does the fact that you're a member of some local church add strength and character to that church? Do people think better of the church because of you? Or do they get a distorted picture of Christ and those who are His disciples? Oh, how it hurts to have some non-member say, "You people may preach godly living, but members are tearing down what you preach faster than you can build up because of the manner of life they live." When those not yet in Christ observe you, are they inclined to want to be a Christian? Or had they just as soon remain as they are, even though they're lost? What kind of knowledge of the Bible would the church have if every member studied the Bible like you do? What if all had the same zeal, the same love, the same determination to know, the same interest as you demonstrate? How many do we see sitting in the pews who never come to Bible study? They never read their Bible daily during the week. They give Bible study no more than a few minutes, in and out of consideration, maybe one sermon a week, and not that even every week. Is not there something odd about that person who claims to love God and love His will, but will show so little concern for the Bible, the Word of God? Friend, you simply are not an asset to the church when you say you love truth, but neglect growth therein. And the same questions could be asked about visiting the needy, caring for the sick, reaching the lost, recovering the fallen, attending the aged, lifting the discouraged, and every other work that Christians can and ought to be doing. Such questions could be multiplied, but surely enough has been mentioned for you to get the idea. Whether you are just a conscience soother, or a dead weight, or a truly worker for the Lord, that really matters. No, I'm not accusing. I'm asking questions that demand answers for which we must have the right answers before we meet God in judgment. Let us make just a few other practical measurements of ourselves. A person who works for a business firm should present himself with a large degree of reliability, dependableness, and faithfulness. He's expected to be loyal and enthusiastic toward his responsibilities. Should not we have at least the same qualities toward the body of Christ if we profess to be a part of it? As absence from your job ought be felt because you're not there, should not your absence from the activities of the church be felt? If one can be absent and not be missed very much, it is likely he's not doing very much so that he is missed. Once a man and his wife went away for a vacation that extended over an entire month. And upon their return, they walked back into the church building announcing, "We're back." And one asked them where they had been and did not even know that they were gone. Well, they were offended, but they should not have been. They only attended now and then anyway, and seldom were involved in anything the church attempted. They really were worth very little to the welfare of that church. They were riders. If most of the membership had been as they were, there probably would not even be a congregation nearby for anybody to attend. The inevitable question that must be raised, what kind of church would this church be if every member were just like me? Would the contribution be sufficient to meet the obligations? Would there be an evening worship or a midweek Bible study? Would the aged be visited and the sick comforted? Would the weary be encouraged and the bereaved consoled, or the orphan clothed? Would there even be gospel meetings? Would the newcomers be greeted and welcomed? Would the Bible be studied at home? Would many prayers ascend, except at times of distress? Well, let's be fair and honest with ourselves, and not deceiving ourselves into thinking we are something when we are nothing, or at best, very little benefit to the church. Is it not time that we all abandon the they attitude about the church and nurture a we attitude toward it? Brethren, be faithful and demonstrate loyalty to what you say you love. Guard your tongue, have an attitude to do right, and let that attitude be evident in your deeds. Attend regularly and faithfully, give liberally and cheerfully. Assume your rightful share of the responsibilities to assure the success of the collective efforts of brethren in your community. Know your Bible. Hold up the hands of faithful brethren who preach it. You can be an asset to the cause of Christ, not a liability. Learn to carry, not have to be carried. Learn to pull, and not always have to be pushed. Learn to assist, and not demand assistance. Keep up, rather than having to be kept after. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.